everyone. Welcome back to Spooky Situations Podcast. My name is Christina, and I am your host for this podcast. So before we get into the spooky stories, I just wanted to say a couple things. First off, I heavily super apologize that this episode is very extremely late for upload. This is a combination of this is the fourth time me recording due to audio issues, and also I had to add in a couple of things here and there. So I apologize that it's very late, but hopefully you guys will enjoy this week's episode. And additionally, I wanted to come on here and announce a little cool update to the brand Spooky Situations Podcast. Once again, if you aren't following on Instagram, which is at Spooky Situations Podcast, and on Twitter, which is Podcast of Spooky, you should follow those because I've had opportunities to practice my drawing skills, actually, and I've updated the logo where I actually got to draw a lot on my own. Like, the previous logo was, it was all mostly me. Like, two little images weren't, I had taken from the internet, so I redrew it. It looks phenomenal. I think so, at least. I'm very proud of it. It took a lot of hard work. And yet, this is my brand. Hopefully, eventually, I can get better and make it look a little better. But, you know, for now, this is it. And keep in mind, with this logo, once I hit 100 followers on Instagram, we're going to do a Pop Socket giveaway. And yes, it will have the new updated logo. So I hope you like it, because if you win, that's what's going to be on your Pop Socket. So yeah, make sure you follow on Instagram and Twitter. And let's get to 100 followers and get that giveaway started. Woohoo! So, to get into this week's topic, I am very excited because it's a shout out to some friends of mine. We'll find out later who those friends are, but we're gonna do the three most haunted states in America. Is your state in the top three most haunted places in America? Stay tuned to find out. At number three, we have Nevada. In Las Vegas, Nevada, there is the Golden Gate Hotel and Casino. It's located on Fremont Street Experience. And the Golden Gate Hotel and Casino is the oldest and smallest hotel at just 106 rooms. The hotel opened on January 13th of 1906. And as you can guess by the name of the hotel, it has a San Francisco theme that was particular in the 1930s. The hotel was originally opened as the Hotel Nevada, established by John F. Miller. And back when the Hotel Nevada first opened, the rate to stay per day was $1. Absolutely insane. And I really thought finding an Airbnb for $27 a night was cheap. The hotel has changed names a total of three times. Originally being, again, Hotel Nevada, and I apologize if I can't say the second name change correctly, but Sal Sajev, and again, currently known as Golden Gate Hotel and Casino. And additionally, the hotel has been renovated seven times, most recently was in 2017. As any ghost enthusiasts would know, renovations to old locations tend to make spirits a little restless. With hours of research, I had a hard time searching an exact reason of people or whatever for why guests would leave reviews of the haunting experiences they leave on websites. So I'm just really going to get into at this point the reviews guests would leave that would give off haunted, creepy vibes. Okay, first off, we got, you won't feel the paranormal vibes unless you have a room around the corner, down the long hallway. Down the long hallway, which is well lit, everything is normal. But then, there's a small corner where you turn right and a small hallway. For some reason, this area has a dimmer light and there's a small breeze here. I looked to see if it was from the ventilation, but it wasn't. It also wasn't caused by a breeze under anyone's door because they left a window open. This is where you start to feel the paranormal vibrations and presence of spirits. They're not horrifying feelings or scary feelings, just the feeling of a presence, and this seems to be that corner that they like to stay in. Once you leave this area, you turn down the long main hallway to the left. All such feelings disappear. So get a room in this area if you want to experience a paranormal presence, and probably a good place for those studying the paranormal. I stayed at all the old downtown hotels, and not only have I experienced this. Okay, the next story we got is, this hotel is awesome. It is the oldest hotel in Vegas and has a lot of character and history. We could just feel the history there and decided to start snapping some pictures of the hallway on our way to our room. My friend was hoping to catch a picture of an orb, but we got better than that. We have an actual picture of a ghost. We took this picture to a psychic, and she said that it is a picture of a man who was an entertainer in the 1970s. We do not know his name, but the picture is evident. If you are into paranormal activity, then this is the place. Right after we went to bed, I was restless, which is unusual for me being so tired. Normally I would be asleep because the bed was comfortable and I was tired, but there it was. I felt, heard, and saw a shadowy figure walk right down the hallway of our room, right over to our beds. I heard footsteps and felt the vibrations of a person walking right by me, as well as seeing it move in the dark. It was an amazing experience, and I was a skeptic, but not anymore after that. I was paralyzed and couldn't move. I was so stunned by it. I can tell you that I would love to spend another night there, and the ghost seemed non-threatening. I don't think it would harm anyone. It did not seem violent at all. If you are into this kind of thing, then you'll want to stay here. Okay, and the last story we got for this hotel goes, it's haunted for sure, and we will definitely go back. We try to stay here at least twice a year and love the history of it. And have good luck in the casino. If you can, try to stay on the third floor. It seems to have the most haunting activities. Now, those were definitely some spooky stories. The only hotel I've stayed in Vegas is the Luxor. And I've heard of creepy paranormal events that have happened at the Luxor. But me personally, I've never had an experience there. But I did feel some kind of creepy, spooky vibe. But then again, I'm also very paranoid, so it could have been nothing. So, who knows? Now we're going to get into the second most haunted state in America, which is Ohio. In particular, we're going to head over to Cincinnati, and there is the Cincinnati Music Hall, or possibly known as just Music Hall, or even the most haunted place in America. Why would it be considered the most haunted place in America? Well, Music Hall is considered haunted for many reasons. First off, the Music Hall was built on a cemetery back from the 1800s for those who were too poor to afford funerals or those whose bodies were unidentified. Then in 1932, the cholera outbreak occurred and killed hundreds of Cincinnati residents. Many children were orphaned, as this disease killed their parents. The Cincinnati Orphan Asylum was built next to where the Music Hall is located today. The Orphan Asylum eventually became known as the Pest House due to it housing children with infectious diseases. In 1876, construction began for the Music Hall, which in the process they discovered human bones in and around the foundation. And those skeletons were properly laid to rest at the Spring Grove Cemetery. Then in 1927, more remains were discovered. And again in 1988, over 200 more bones were discovered when drilling for an elevator shaft. And it doesn't end there, because between 2016 and 17, more remains were found under the orchestra pit when they were revitalizing the Music Hall. That's a lot of times remains were discovered over, oh my gosh, I can't even do the math, hundreds of years. Gosh. Okay. employees from Pops director to the Cincinnati Opera CEO to night watchmen have reported seeing and hearing spirits late at night, sounds such as unearthly music, and seeing children in period clothing, and definitely much more. So Music Hall, or again, Cincinnati Music Hall, they do actually do ghost tours. Unfortunately, not now due to COVID and whatnot. But so in a non-COVID world, you actually can, going forward, if there are times when they will reopen, you actually can try to book to get a ghost tour here. So I'm going to read off some of the reviews about the Cincinnati Music Hall ghost tours. Okay, first off, this was an amazing tour. I feel so privileged to have had the chance to experience this event. I had more than one paranormal encounter during the hours of the tour. When I was in the loading dock area, the left half of my head became heavy, like I was underwater, and my ear hurt like there was something in my ear pushing really hard. Upon leaving the area, it went away immediately. I was told later that often there were reports of people feeling underwater when in contact with ghosts. Two anomalies with my camera happened as well. When in the ballroom looking at the opera pipe grates, I waited till everyone else was done taking pictures. I then took two photos using flash. The first time I got a weird bubble interference in the photo, and then I took a sidestep and took another. The second one was taken a moment later with the same camera and lighting conditions. It came out totally normal. I later discovered that the first time I was standing in a location where another photographer had previously photographed a ghostly man standing in. The second time I had an anomaly was when we were in the painting room. I took a photo of the new Pops sign, and a similar situation happened. This time, the light streaks were a diagonal, and there's a lot of hazy light. It really struck me that the light pattern was so different, and upon stepping out of the spot, taking another photo, it looked totally normal. Okay, and the last story goes, did you know Music Hall is really three separate buildings? We walked all over the building, hearing stories of ghost sightings in various places in the hall, plus taking a ride on the freight elevator, which requires a key to operate, but at times moves on its own while employees are in it. We heard several stories of a little girl, which music staff and several performers, which includes recently a member of Daughtry, seeing the little girl backstage. How insane that not only that employees who are here on a regular basis have stories of seeing and hearing things, but not only that, a member of Daughtry can confirm that they saw something. That's insane. It's absolutely insane. And here we go. The number one most haunted state in America is North Dakota. And in particular, we're going to head over to, speaking about, the Harvey Public Library. And this public library has a very popular resident ghost. Her name is Sophie Abilene Bentz. She was murdered in her sleep by her second husband, Jacob Bentz. And on the 59th anniversary of her murder, the library staff of Harvey Public Library have moved into their new building. The library director, Marlene Ripplinger, had expressed spooky experiences while working in the library, saying that it seemed things started to happen when people would talk about it. Things such as books and keys would go missing and reappear as if by magic, as if Harry Potter was making things come and go, but that wasn't actually happening, and I apologize for my really crappy British accent. I don't know why that came in. Anyway. Sometimes lights flicker for no apparent reason, and just, the library was only built at that point 20 years ago, so you want to be rational that it's just a new building, it's just the wiring. But apparently as time went on, it seemed like there wasn't really an explanation. And the staff would be very careful about talking about the incidents, especially in October, because that was the month when Sophie was murdered in her sleep. when things happened, Sophie usually got the credit, or more often not the blame, for everything. Oh gosh. There were issues when you were ready to go home after a long day at work, and suddenly your keys were not there. And you go retrace your steps, look everywhere you can think of, high, low, whatever, and then the staff would just yell, "Okay, Sophie, I need to get home now." And then all of a sudden, there are your keys. At that point, I can imagine they're just thankful and just, you know, take off, because I know I would. Some people will think, oh, you know, you're just very absent-minded, oh my goodness. And it's like, or is there a disturbance on an astral level? For gentleman William Jackson, feeling is believing. And William Jackson is the author of several books that focus on mysteries and oddities around North Dakota. He had traveled to Harvey to talk to the particular library workers and research Sophie's story. Apparently, he had an experience there that he will never be able to explain. Gave Sophie a challenge, saying, "Sophie, if you exist, make my right foot cold." And he felt the presence. Felt very cold, felt the chill creeping, started his right hand, crept up his arm, and then down to his foot. The sensation lasted a while, and apparently on his way home, he stopped at a cafe, ran into a friend there, asked his friend to touch his left shoulder and his right shoulder, and his friend confirmed that his right shoulder was still cold to the touch. It wasn't just in his mind, he felt the coldness physically. So, at that point, he said, you know, claimed that he knew that there was a spiritual world, because how can you can deny it when you think it's just in your head, but when you have someone else confirm physical feelings, that's when it makes a difference for you. And that's what happened with Mr. Jackson. In 2005, a woman walked into the library with a stash of family heirlooms. The woman stated the items were connected with the family of her first husband, who came from the Harvey area, and she wanted to donate the items just in case they were historically significant for any reason. The library workers were intrigued when they learned that the woman's first husband was Sophia Eberlein's grandson. The visitor said her husband's family never talked about the murder, and when the woman found out strange things had been happening at the library, she was eager to hear more. I mean, I know I would. Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Okay, so at that point, the woman's current husband, who had apparently been filling the family van up with gas, had came into the library. He had a very strange expression on his face and stated there was a presence in the library that didn't like men, which is crazy and ironic because he literally just came in. He had absolutely zero warning of anything, because even his now current wife had just learned about the crazy experiences of the library, and he's just like, yeah, there is a presence in here that doesn't like men. And it'd be reasonable that Sophie's ghost doesn't like men because she was murdered by her second husband in her dang sleep. Crazy. apparently, this current husband had been an herbalist. He had spiritual training, and he sensed the spirit wanted to be released. So he gave the library director, Ripplinger, advice on how to clear her spirit into the light. Because I'd assume that they're assuming that it's Sophie, because it just seems likely it is. So, yeah, that's the crazy. I couldn't find any other personal experiences about what else happened. The library just seems to be focally all around Sophie. She's the main ghost. Library staff members seem to have the most experiences, and that's really all I can find. But don't worry, the episode does not end here, because I finally actually have a listener story, and I'm excited because this comes from my friend Allie, one of the co-hosts of State by State and Erie podcast, and here it goes. Hi, I love the podcast and couldn't wait to send in my scary story. So, the house I grew up in has always felt a little strange to me, but I'd never had anything happen to me. along comes my son, and we were visiting my parents' house, which is a long 70s style ranch, and he looks down the long hallway that leads back to the bedrooms. He stands on his little three-year-old tiptoes and flips on the light switch. He turns back to me and says, "Where'd she go?" I answer that we're all in the kitchen together. He reaches back up and turns the switch off and looks back down the dark hallway and says, "Oh, there she is." But no one was there. I don't know who or what he was seeing, but he didn't seem scared, so we just went on about our business. He's seen other things, but that's for a different email. Thanks for doing a great show. Best, Allie from State by State and Erie Podcast. If you want a podcast that gives you both ghost and true crime stories that go from state by state in alphabetical order, go check out my friends Allie Geigerman and Jen Cole of State by State and Erie Podcast, which, by the way, heads up, my story is actually featured in the New York episode. So check them out. They're awesome. Thanks, Allie, for sending in your story. And before I end this week's show, I'd like to give a huge, huge, huge shout out to a friend of mine by the name of Margaret. She has recently opened her own custom keychain shop named Inspired by Happy. She made me an adorable custom keychain for Spooky Situations Podcast that is a theme with the new logo. It's super adorable, and you can find her on Instagram at Inspired by Happy. Don't forget to follow on Instagram at Spooky Situations Podcast and on Twitter, Podcast is Spooky. We are available on the following podcast platforms: Anchor, Breaker, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Spotify, and newly SoundCloud. Please rate and review on Apple Podcast. And if you have any spooky stories of your own or from someone else, email us at spookysituationspodcast@gmail.com. Have a wonderful evening or morning, or just whenever you're listening to this, and stay spooky.